Avast, you scoundrels, and welcome to the Gay Pirate Podcast, where two queer IRL pirates talk about Our Flag Means Death one episode at a time. I am Lark Malachi Gray, and I don't know if you caught it, but I did some pretty amazing stuff too.
And I'm Jesse Blount. You weren't a dick. Life's a dick.
Yeah, and hi everyone, it's the last episode of season two slash the end of the seasons of Our Flag Means Death. And that's sad, but also because of that, we're fancy and there's going to be cute video clips and maybe I'll post the whole video on Patreon, who knows. Interjection from Future Lark, if you are interested in watching a extended video version of this episode, you can. It's up on our Patreon. Jesse and I are in our cute little pirate outfits drinking our cute little drinks. It's, I think, like 10 minutes longer than the public episode. And, you know, you can join for a month and then unjoin if you want to, or you can stick around and get all of the other excellent things that we offer on Patreon. But no matter what, I'll put the link in the show notes so that you can find it. And yeah, back to the episode. But you should seek out our social media so you can see us in our cute pirate outfits drinking our sweet and spicy Swede drinks.
Just like Spanish Jackie.
You know, cheers to the screen.
Cheers.
Clink.
I didn't do a spicy rim because I have a very weak spice tolerance, but I did shake up some dried habanero in my tequila, and it's pretty nice. It's like a lingering burn, like in the back of my tongue. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So, listeners, if you want to pause and go make a sweet and spicy to drink with us, we are drinking a cocktail that is habanero-infused tequila. Don't infuse it for too long. It goes quick, that guy. Pineapple juice, lime juice, ice, and then put a spicy rim. I used Tony's seasoning, but you can use whatever works for you. And yeah, it's delish.
And if you want the non-alcoholic version of that, you could probably just, I don't know, make a simple syrup, a little bit of habanero in there for, I don't know, 5 minutes after it's already cooked, and then just make the drink without the alcohol, and I think you would get the same effect.
Yeah. Probably want to dilute it with something so that the pineapple simple syrup combo doesn't end up just being way too sweet.
You're right. Sorry. I actually topped my drink off with some fizzy water, so I would also recommend. So yeah, sorry. That with fizzy water, I think would be a great non-alcoholic version of this drink. And, you know, if you really want to fill up the show, you could get a little cayenne pepper. Well, I don't know what the peppers are called.
It's so cute. I know, the little pepper garnish or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the fact that fresh peppers and dried peppers have different names is understandable, but deeply confusing for me as someone who has dyslexia. I'm like, what is it called when it's not a dried cayenne?
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, but should we start with a little, like, whatever, reminiscing or whatever about the fact that this is our last stay subscribed. We're going to do some more pirate-themed things over the years, but, like, last official Our Flag Means Death episode.
I mean, I think I just want to say that I know that folks have mixed feelings about our mixed feelings about this season, but I don't know. I'm still just really glad that this show fucking exists. Like, I obviously wish that HBO had been a better home for the show, because if we could have gotten 10 hours this season of show, I think it would have been chef's kiss. And, like, you know, I'm so glad to have watched it. I'm never mad about seeing queer people on my television screen.
Yeah. It was just announced this week, basically, that, like, the creators are officially, like, the show is not finding a home for season three. And I'm bummed. And surprised. I don't think I will ever understand the logics of being like this extremely successful show. No one wants to make a season three.
I mean, I think part of it is that the people who are in charge of making television don't care about what actually makes good television. They only care about money and being, in the CEO of HBO's case, a raging racist homophobic douchebag who just wants to produce god-awful reality shows for middle American conservative dudes. Which is not great, I think, for our media landscape. for a variety of reasons. So yeah, it is confusing why, like, even as much as I hate Jeff Bezos, I'm like, Amazon didn't pick this up. Like, y'all have more money than God. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But I guess Amazon also canceled A League of Their Own, which was also very queer, very successful. They had a bunch of queer ladies in that show and a non-binary person. A lot of queer people of color in that show. They also canceled after one season because we live in the worst timeline.
Right.
But honestly, two seasons are still better than one season, you know? And this is still better than having, I don't know, three episodes and it gets canceled or whatever.
Yeah.
But I will forever be mad that we will not get to see what Captain Frenchie is going to do.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think this is a wound that's going to stick with a lot of people for a long time, because this isn't just like, hey, that was a good show. This is like, hey, that was like a really important show.
Yeah, the show I think is like deeply important. And my only hope is that having had this show and the sort of like very grassroots word of mouth sort of fan base spring up around it, that, I mean, hopefully this means at some point we can continue to get shows like this, even if it's not exactly this, or at the very least shows that like have not a rich tapestry of queer experiences. We can all just be like, okay, but you can try harder. And right. Like, if David Jenkins, who is a cishet white dude, can do this, like, what is everyone else's excuse, truly?
Right.
Also, just hire queer people to make media, which is also, I think, he did a great job. He had a very robust writer's room of a variety of different people, which is also why the sort of trend of having one cishet white dude write a whole season of a show is not great. Because right. Then you get shit like White Lotus. Sorry, everyone, but I don't care about rich white people behaving badly. There's so many shows like that. Can we get more shows like Our Flag Means Death?
For real. For real. All right. You know, things before we get into it. Again, like I said, stay subscribed, because we're either going to do like a whole season three where we talk about like just different pirate media that we already know and love, or we'll just like sprinkle episodes as we have like the time and gumption to make them. But like, queer pirateness is going to keep appearing here periodically, so like, stick around. Most of the Gay Pirate podcast related merch is going to stay in our shop. Obviously the Be Gay Do Crime stickers that we just launched are limited run, so they're there until they're gone. I think I'm going to phase out the like Hot Pirate Summer and Throw Your Parents to the Kraken things in the next few months, but like, they're there for now. But the podcast logo stickers and shirts will be there, I think, forever, because they're great and super comfortable. I'm wearing my hoodie right now. It's my favorite zip up hoodie. Anyway, you know, I'm just saying it's not goodbye. And like, if you're like, I want it to be not goodbye in a more meaningful way. I don't just want random episodes about Muppet Treasure Island, like maybe 3 months or 9 months from now. We do make three other podcasts, so check those out, or join our Patreon, where you can re-listen to all of these episodes with like 5 to 10 minutes of bonus content per episode, and also get all of our other stuff.
So yeah, it does not have to be. It does not have to be goodbye.
No. Yeah. All right. Let's get into this. Let's start things off with Talk It Through as a Crew, where we talk about everything that doesn't go anywhere else.
Wait, do you want me to do the episode description?
Oh, shit. I forgot that we hadn't done that yet. All right. Yes. And finally, Jesse, will you please tell us what this episode is?
Following directly from episode 7, episode 8, Merman. Everyone's been brought low by British assholes and mean gay Ricky, but Steve has a plan, and our beloved crew set sail into the sunset. Pete and Lucius get married, and Ed and Steve live the ultimate gay dream of still U-hauling and running a B&B.
Yeah. All right, let's get into it with Talk It Through as a Crew, where we talk about everything that doesn't go anywhere else.
Okay. The intro of like Ed's voiceover, where he's just like, I am just a simple fisherman. I feel like That monologue is how I feel whenever I read like a self-help book and I'm like, this is going to fix all of the things that I do that has ADHD that makes my life hard. This is the thing. This is great. And then the dude in yellow who's like hitting Ed in the face. And I'm like, and then that is what happens when real life intervenes and you're like reading half of a self-help book is not going to, it's not going to cure all of the things in my life that are hard.
That's so funny because my first note is Blackbeard's monologue is me on shrooms. Every summer when I do my annual fuck, I have to do mushrooms or my mental health is going to deteriorate journey, I'm just like, I am one with the universe. Everything is so beautiful. I'm going to spend an hour eating one single cherry because it's like the most beautiful, delicious, perfect thing that has ever existed. Like, yeah, it's like, exactly. That's exactly what it's like. Everyone go do some mushrooms today.
I'm like, oh, I should do some mushrooms. It's a good idea.
You should do some mushrooms.
Yeah, because of the sort of legal gray area mushrooms occupy in Michigan, it is now easier than ever for me to purchase mushrooms, which is like all I've ever wanted because I don't know. I don't want to say it's the best kind of drugs, but I'm just like, that's to be that person. It's like, if it's grown in the ground, but I'm like.
I mean, I haven't done a lot of kinds of drugs, but like, even if I had only ever done mushrooms, I think I would still be like, this is like the ideal drug because it just makes you so fucking peaceful and the effects of it like stay with you after it and like scientifically proven to be good with dealing with trauma and shit. So like,
yeah,
I don't know, man. I recommend it. I think you should all go do mushrooms. And I don't know if it's illegal for me to say that or not, but I don't care.
They're slowly becoming more legal as everyone is just like, the only reason this is illegal is because racism. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And people hate fun.
And it's people.
People hate fun.
People. White supremacy really hates fun and anything that's going to make you think about yourself beyond a capitalist grindstone mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you ever have the experience, do it.
Yep.
Speaking of drugs, Jackie was so ready with that poison. She was like, fuck all of this noise. And her cackling about it was me, is like, literally what I was doing along with her. You know, nothing brings me more joy than watching a bunch of terrible white dudes die of poisoning.
Oh my God, it's so beautiful. I love it.
I feel like every country that's been colonized by Britain probably maybe felt something very similar. But I almost was like, sorry if you have national pride in the UK, but if you listen to this podcast, you probably do not. So
yeah, no, that would be so weird.
It would be deeply weird.
When I was watching this episode for the first time and they're like trying to break out of the cell with the shirt, right? And they're like twisting the bars and they're like, oh, it's starting to rip. I like out loud was like, someone has to pee on it, like half a second before Fang was like, someone has to pee on it. And I was like, I know about this, I think. And I had to look up what that movie was that made us all know that someone had to pee on it. Do you know? Shanghai Noon, that like Owen Wilson, Jackie Chan movie from like 2000.
That is really funny. I don't know if I've seen that movie.
Okay. There's like the iconic line from that movie is that they like break out of the cell. And like, I don't know how fucked up it is or not, because I have not seen this movie probably since it came out. But like, I think Jackie Chan gets Owen Wilson to pee on the shirt and is like, wet shirt, no break. And then he's like, why did that work? And he's like, you said wet shirt, no break, not piss shirt, bend bars, I think. And it's like, I don't even want to think about how fucked up and racist this movie is, but like, apparently that wormed its way into my head. And I was like, oh, I know this. You have to pee on that shirt.
It really just makes me wonder how many weird gay millennials are in the writer's room of this show, because...
Yep.
Oh.
It is your turn.
Speaking of poison, this poisoning scene, I just want to say that I have a theory that because we see in the first episode that Steed has also just been drinking the alcohol at Jackie's, that he and I guess whoever else has been drinking the alcohol at Jackie's is also built up an inoculation to whatever poison she is using. Because the sweet is like, wait, am I going to die? And she's like, yo, no, everyone's poison tested in this house. And I'm like, is Jackie just slowly poisoning all of the alcohol?
No, I think that she, it was just that bottle of brandy that had the poison in it. But I think that when she says poison tested, I think that she means like in The Princess Bride, you know, like I've built up an immunity to iocane powder, but like she's only doing that to like her husband's, you know, so that in a situation exactly like this, she can poison the British Army.
That makes sense.
But right. Do you mean because Steed worked there before or?
Because I'm just like, is she only, but this makes more sense that she would only be doing this to like her husband's. Never mind.
Yeah, because like her waitstaff, those are disposed, they're disposable. Her husband's kind of disposable, but that's different.
Slightly less disposable.
Yeah.
So, all right, never mind then.
Same scene. The fact that they all start dying right as Zhang and Ed and Steed come in, and Steed just goes, is that us doing that?
I know.
It's so funny.
You know, considering how much cartoon logic drives Steed's life, I feel like a relevant question to ask.
Totally. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. My next thing is the, like, cinematography of the scene where everyone's getting dressed in the British outfits is, like, pretty rad. But that initial shot of Steed, like, adjusting his jacket from the back is, like, it, like, gives me chills. I'm just like, it's just so good.
It's so good. You're completely correct. They nailed it.
Yeah. The actor who plays Roach, he actually posted an extended version of that scene on his Instagram because he is a true hero.
Yeah.
So if you're not following his Instagram and you want to see cool behind-the-scenes stuff of the show, you should definitely be doing that. Also, he is a great-looking dude to look at on Instagram. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
what do totally. You do? I don't know what people do on Instagram. Like,
yeah, actually, I am done with this section.
All right. I guess I would be remiss to say that I love that when we end on this Pete and Lucius getting married, that like it's a team effort to officiate the wedding. I just love that so much.
It's so cute.
Oh my God. It's just, yes, I just, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I wish I could somehow put that into my body, the feeling of like just how cute and incredible that is.
I know. Oh, it's so good. Welcome to Brigade of Imbeciles, where we talk about character development. I don't think a ton of like development. This is a very quiet, not quiet episode, but like not a lot of, by which I mean this is mostly like an Izzy episode, and so I feel that there's nothing happening character-wise. Anyway, I do really love so much the scene with Blackbeard and Steed and Zhengyi.
Oh my God.
On the beach after they have killed all of these British soldiers.
Them bonding is actually my first thing. I would watch 12 hours of just them having wacky hijinks alone. Just like, even if it's just the three of them, I would watch all of it.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, before we knew that season three was not happening, when I watched this episode, I was like, I assume that like this inn thing is going to not work out and they're going to return to the sea. But like, I think that I would have preferred it if it had not, because it's so like, yes, I do want to see the three of you pirating together. Like, what is it co-captains when there are three of you? And I don't know, but like, that is the season three that I want. And so I was like, why is this how we're ending things? And now I'm like, well, it doesn't matter, but still.
Honestly, I have to say, I have to agree with you, because it is weird that part of Izzy's like dramatic death scene is him being like, you don't need me. You have like these, this is your family too. Like, it's not just the two of us, as part of sort of Izzy's acceptance of his own mortality, but also just to be like, Ed, it's going to be okay. And so it's weird to have this like heavy emotional moment and then for Ed to not stay with the crew. You know?
Right. He's like, they love you. And Ed's like, whatever. It's just going to be me and Steed. And it's like, but why? Yeah, I completely agree with you. Like 1,000,000% agree.
And I feel like that as a choice then makes it, it makes it weird for like, why even have Izzy say this?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I would assume that if there had been a season three that clearly Ed and Steed's in idea would have, I think like many of us that have our, I'm like, what is a gay fantasy? Having a hobby farm in the middle of nowhere, owning a bar slash cafe where people can read that's open until like 4 a.m. is a fantasy that like in reality, it's like, would I want to own 80 acres in Montana and not talk to anyone? Sure. Realistically, that would be literally terrifying as a queer person. As a queer person in an interracial relationship with an ambiguous gender presentation, I'm like, actually, that's going to stay a fantasy.
Yeah, 100%. And as someone who like did move to the middle of nowhere for a while, whenever people are like, oh, the dream, move to the country, I'm like, it's not what you think it's going to be. Like, you're going to love it until you have to drive 45 minutes to go to the one restaurant that isn't even that good. I promise you, you're not going to like it. Like, it's not nice. So
I know. So having said all that, yeah, Ed and Steed are definitely in the fantasy part of that dream and not the like, do either of you have skills that would make this work? Unfortunately not.
Yeah. Like, can't wait for the messy, like, trying to DIY renovate a house when neither of you have skills, episode one of season three, where you just say, fuck it, and head back to the sea. So.
Yeah, it would, I think in my envisioning, it would be a, like, what is it, like, tic-tac sound? You know, several hours later, they're like, you know, this didn't really work for Anne and Mary. I don't think it's going to work for us either.
Yeah. Yeah. So Auntie telling Oluwande, you're not a man, you're soft, is like the exact brand of queer masculinity that I feel like I embody. So I was very into it.
Yeah, that's like really the main definition of masculinity that like I'm ever interested in.
Yeah.
Speaking of other gay things, I do have to point out, I do want to say that we get this interaction with Izzy and Ricky, where Izzy is talking about piracy in the way that is a very clear metaphor for the gay community and like found family, mm-hmm. which I do like, even though I'm still not convinced Izzy is the person to have who should have given this
it
monologue.
It should have been Lucius. That is a Lucius speech. That is Lucius dialogue. That is Lucius observation skills. They gave it to Izzy because for some reason they were like, the last episode has to be all about Izzy so people won't be mad when we kill Izzy. Like, that was ever going to work. And I'm like, why did you give Lucius's beautiful speech to the wrong person? I'm so fucking angry with you.
I mean, Izzy is a fan favorite, which I know we have spoken about, not in depth, in order not to piss people off who are listening, who Izzy is their favorite, but Izzy is not our favorite. So, yeah, I do. Lucius, yes, that would have been great. Literally anyone, honestly.
Yeah, I just feel like the rhythm, the cadence, the like specific way that it's both like soft and cutting, it's just like, this is exactly when we had more Lucius on our screens, when we had more everyone besides Ed and Steed and Izzy on our screens. Like, this is how they wrote Lucius's dialogue. So it just feels like, yeah. Or if it, I also feel like this feels like the kind of thing that with, you know, I think a good amount of tweaking to the like technical aspects. Like, this could absolutely have been a Frenchie delivery, too. But, like, with very little changes, this could easily have been a Frenchie line or speech, soliloquy, whatever.
Yeah. The only other thing I can think to be, like, why they would have Izzy give this speech, besides his status as a fan favorite, is when we do see him in this episode, it's, like, maybe the most calm we ever see Izzy. And I think it's sort of like this is the most that maybe Izzy has, like, accepted himself and has maybe squashed his own internalized homophobia finally, which, good for him.
Yeah. It's a beautiful speech, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially considering that, like, Ricky is, like, I feel like I've already described him as a mean gay. He's just, like, the kind of... It's like Ricky's the kind of gay that's like respectability politics, and it's like, fuck you. That's literally never worked for literally anyone. Go fucking be a like conservative investment banker or whatever the fuck. Like, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. When he's like, I mean, if you think about it, I'm technically the piratiest pirate of all. And you're just like, baby, what? Like, what?
Yeah.
I, whatever you are doing, it's time to just call it quits, bud.
Yeah, yeah, it's just giving gay conservative in a way that's just like, yeah, okay, tell me how much that works out for you, Ricky, once the monarchy's done with your ass. Like,
right. My only other thing here is I just love Oluwande. Like, oh my God, everyone... Someone's using, like, a circular saw next door. I'm so sorry.
No!
I really love Oluwande coaching Auntie on being soft, being a kind parent. And Zheng Yi's like face just crumples when Auntie's like, I'm proud of you.
I know. I know. I loved everything about that. Like, I love the fact that Auntie's alive, number one. And yeah, like, she has this moment with Oluwande, and then, like, they have, and then, like, she has this moment with Shaoli, and it's just, like, so tender. And it, to be honest, doesn't actually matter if that is her actual auntie. It's just, like, that is her auntie, you know?
Right,
and
right, I just, right. Yeah.
It's just so beautiful, and I'm like, oh, I love it so much.
Yeah.
So. Totally. Also, LOL, more cartoon logic. I'm glad Auntie lived. She was literally in a boat that exploded. And Izzy gets shot once. and is dead, like, 3 seconds later.
He got shot in the gut. Heard that's bad. Sepsis sets in very quickly with that. So
it wasn't in the exact right spot to get shot in the gut.
Exactly. He got shot on the right, you know?
That's where all the important stuff is.
The left. Whichever side. Yeah, I think it depends on how close to the rail she was. Like, if she just got, like, flung overboard, you know, just a stray piece of shrapnel in the shoulder. Makes sense to me.
Anyway, I'm glad that she lives and gets to also ride off into the sunset.
Yeah, me too. Welcome to Do You Fancy a Fine Fabric, where we talk about aesthetics, and there's an image roundup for every episode. Click the link in the show notes if you want to see it while we talk about it. Last thing first, I think that this scene where they all put on the British uniforms is the, like, if you ever want to explain to someone how outfits are all about attitude and not what the actual outfit is, this is what you show them. Because our crew wearing the same exact uniform.
Oh my God.
I would fuck every single one of them.
Yes.
Like, immediately.
Everyone looks so fucking good in these outfits. It's out of control. I mean, obviously the cast, incredibly attractive, every single one. But yeah, these looks are so good.
It's so good. And then you, like, cut to the other British soldiers, like, standing there dressed exactly the same, just looking like giant fucking dorks. And you're like, yeah, it's all about how you wear it, man. And
yeah,
God, can these people wear those outfits? I just can't get over it.
Yeah, the getting dressed monologue, perfect. Yeah, and then when we have the fight scene in the woods where everyone is in their, like, stolen British uniforms, and it's just like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
That's honestly, that was my only fashion thing, is that everyone looks great. Shout-outs, of course, to the Swede still wearing his Jackie's Bar crop top under his mm-hmm. jacket. yeah. And Jim in a tree knifing everyone.
So great.
So incredible. So hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do have a couple other things.
Oh,
Steve's
okay.
earring looking great, I think. Really solid choice that he made while he was drunk. You know, sometimes drunk choices are good choices. The kid Fisher person that Ed goes with is wearing this like green tank top with like a net with like stuff on it. It's very gay. It's very good. It's like a really good shirt.
Oh my God. How did I forget it? Yeah, no, that is. It's a look. It's an outfit, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
And then we just have this random person in the cell with everybody who's wearing just, like, a leather jacket that is just, like, every inch of it is studded. It's so wild. I was like, who the fuck are you? You look amazing.
The costume design person on this show, pay them double. Like, such a good job. Actually, when I was doing research, I read like an interview with her, and she was like, someone in like one of the opening scenes of episode one, where it's someone who's wearing a fur coat that is just looks like it was made out of rat pelts. Because she was like, I just had this idea that like there's so many rats on a ship, someone would clearly just have a like rat skin coat. And I'm like, that is the attention to detail that I want to see. Is just that person is probably in that shot for a split second. I don't even remember this shot, but I'm like, I'm going to go back because that is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just like, yeah, all the costuming choices for like all of the characters. It looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's so great. Give them a Golden Globe, an Emmy. What is television? What is the television?
I'm the wrong person to ask.
Give this person a Golden Globe and an Emmy. They deserve it for costuming.
Yeah. I love the part where Lucius is like, you're not using my pants. He's like, these are my favorite jeans. And like, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but like, obviously jeans did not exist yet in 1717. I don't think. But like in The Princess Bride, there's like a thing where Wesley is wearing blue jeans. And like in the book, The Princess Bride, there's all these like asides from the author talking about like, when and where things began in time, none of which line up. Like, things will be before Paris, but after America. And, like, according to The Princess Bride, blue jeans have existed for considerably longer than most people expect. And so I was like, we're working with Princess Bride logic on when blue jeans came on the scene. And that makes perfect sense to me, and I think we should, so.
Yeah, and we'll get to this later, our second Princess Bride reference in this episode.
All right. Welcome to Stark Revelations, where we talk about things that are fucked up.
So, after season one, I read a lot of our Flag Means Death fan fiction. There was definitely a lot of fan fiction, I'm going to assume, written by white people who were very much like, Ed can't read. And I'm like, that seems racist to assume that. Also, again, everyone in season one saying they can't read is just saying that to Steve so they don't have to do extra work. So I'm glad that we have this scene of Ed reading this letter, because I'm like, fuck all you fanfic writers who try to add this in as a plot point. No.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Yeah. It's real cringe. It's real cringe.
I'm like, isn't there like canonical evidence that that's not true too? Like, I think that's why I'm just like, what? What?
Yeah, I think maybe part of it was because of whatever scene in, like, the second to last episode where they're going over the Act of Grace document and, like, Ed signs with an X instead of, like, you know, his actual signature, which I think I actually read an article that was sort of about the sort of historical precedence of Indigenous people signing X on things and like it being like, so this was a lie and sort of pulling a wool over our eyes kind of thing. Anyway, so for whatever reason, I think it became a thing that I saw in fanfiction that I was like, I actually cannot read your fanfiction if this is what you're assuming.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm glad it shows up here to be like, stop it, y'all.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, set the record straight. I watched Guys and Dolls a lot growing up, and there's like a whole thing in that where like, you know, this one of the like gangsters is like signing a thing to be like, I promise to do this thing if you like win this craps roll or whatever, and like signs with an X, and like it's not because Big Julie can't read. No one thinks that. It's because Big Julie is gonna fucking Welsh on his contract. He has no intention of following through. He's not signing with his real name. So I just was like, yeah, of course Ed is like, you're not getting my actual signature.
Yeah.
Like, why would I do that? Like, yeah, why would he do that? So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So I look forward to reading everyone's fan fiction where Ed can read. Thanks. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, what was your other thing here?
Just the CEO of Max is my biggest not political enemy right now. Every week, I am like, if that dude drops dead today, it is not soon enough. Like, he's my nemesis. He's my nemesis. And part of why I bring this up here is because I was reading a couple of interviews with David Jenkins about episode 8, like basically right after it dropped. So not now when we realized that we wouldn't be getting any more of the show, where he kept repeating this line that like, we're making a 1 hour show on a half an hour budget and a half an hour schedule. And it like, it wounds me. Like what we could have had just deeply. So I hate that dude. And his grave is going to be the next hot gender-neutral bathroom to drop, so.
Yeah. Welcome to The Art of Fuckery, where we rant about stuff. So when Ed is like, all right, I gotta go back to being a pirate, and as he's making the decision, the Swedes Kraken song from last season starts playing.
I know!
I like, oh my god. And then it just, like, keeps being great because, like, you know, we see him, like, dive down to get his leathers and then, like, he emerges from the ocean as if he, like, held his breath and, like, got changed on the bottom of the ocean just for dramatic effect, which is so good. I cannot express how much I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Ed coming out of the ocean and, like, in all black is, oh, it's like, what a good scene. It looked so good. Sort of along these lines, I know that we're operating with cartoon logic, but like, I just have to point out that his leather would be fucked if this wasn't cartoon logic.
At the very least, he is having the most uncomfortable day that anyone has ever had.
Salt water encrusted leather.
Drying on your body.
Oh my god, the most chafy and drying, like, oh, your skin would just be like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not what happens because this is a cartoon. So yep, he just exactly. Looks great coming out of the water.
Amazing.
All right. My only thing here is this shack that Ed and Steed are like, we live here now. Has two holes in the roof. I'm like, y'all can't, this isn't even a situation where it's like, we can live here and fix it up. I'm like, I don't think this is a livable, safe structure for you to be inside of.
No, this is like something that would be listed on Redfin as like an incredible investment opportunity. Once you tear down this house, this property will be great. Yeah, no, that property, that little building, it's like, you guys, neither of you know what you're doing. Like, this is bad. Like, I live with a builder, and like, even with like Evan being able to do literally anything that we want to do to our house, we still get in fights like all the time when we're trying to figure out like home renovation stuff, which mostly is like him being able to visualize things that I can't. It's just like our brains working really differently is like the primary. He's like this, and I'm like, no, this. And like, often we're talking about the same thing, but like, we can't express it in the same way. Even like 13 fucking years in, it's just like, at this point, I've started being like, hang on, I got to draw a picture. Like, let's not fight. Let's draw, because I can't visualize like you can. But like, one of the two of us literally knows how to do all of the things, and we still get in fights. Like, yeah. These two, they don't have the skill set. They've never tried to communicate about anything like this before. Nope. It's like, what are you trying to do? Get a divorce before you're even married? Like, why would you do this? Yeah. Don't do this. You have so much treasure. Buy an inn that's functioning.
It's like Ed is literally rich.
so rich. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, I know.
You don't need a fixer-upper.
Yeah. This is why I'm like, it wouldn't even be 24 hours before they're like, actually, this is not going to work.
Right. It's like, we're either going to kill each other or we need to go back to piracy. Those are the only options.
Yeah.
Welcome to And They Were Co-Captains, where we talk about sexy stuff.
Not as sexy, but we finally do get the Ed and Steed running across the beach kiss and I love yous exchange, and it just makes me very happy.
It's so great, and honestly, I love them kissing and like being sweet, but my favorite part of the whole thing is when Zheng Yi is fighting like 30 fucking soldiers and is like, look, I know that the priority right now is your reunion, and like frees Steed's sword from this dude's gut and is like, go.
Yeah. I know. Again, I just would watch 20 hours of them just doing whatever. It would be so good.
Yeah. And like Oluwande being like awkward in the corner, like with these three, like, I mean, two amazing pirates, and then Steed being like, no, I am an amazing pirate, and then Oluwande being like, babe, do you need anything? Like,
yeah. Just... I know. We were robbed. We've been robbed. We've all been robbed of this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what do you have?
That's it.
Oh, I guess I just have to say, Pete and Lucius's kiss, that's not them slashing each other's faces at the end of their Maid of Lodge ceremony, also makes me deeply happy.
Yeah, it's so cute.
I love them so much. So happy for them. And everyone else. It's just, it's great.
It's so nice.
Though, unfortunately, there will not be cake at this wedding.
That's okay. Maybe there's pie.
I know. I'm like, maybe Roach can make a nice, like, tart or something.
Yeah, or cupcakes. Welcome to The Crystals Attract Demons, where we talk about science and history and stuff.
All right. I have one thing that I did some research in, and I did not do some research about how to pronounce this word. So there's a word for, like, when you're ingesting toxins in order to build up an immunity to it, and I think it is... Mithrate? Nope. I'm not going to try to pronounce this name. I should have looked it up earlier. Anyway, there's a whole word for this, which I guess is named after a, like, king in antiquity back in the day, Mithrates, who, his father, who was a king, got murdered by poison, and his mom was maybe poisoning him because she liked his brother better. So he fled to, like, learn how to develop an immunity to a bunch of different poisons, and then came back to rule so that he couldn't be murdered by poison. So this practice is named after him. From what I can tell from the literally 2 hours of research I did on this today, is that this is a real thing you can do. It seems to really only work, though, with things like animal venom or, like, toxic plants, because of how your immune system sort of responds to those toxins, essentially.
Okay.
and like how you can sort of essentially develop where your immune system can fight it off, or your body can just sort of get whatever kind of thing toxins do. Sorry, I did not look up how poisons work on your body. Some things are immune system response, and some of it is also a little bit genetics too.
Okay.
Because like apparently there are people who live in parts of the world where there's a lot of, say, natural arsenic, and they can consume higher amounts of arsenic than other people who don't live in areas where there's a bunch of arsenic in your water naturally. So
interesting.
Yeah. This obviously does not work on all poisons, such as mercury poisoning and lead poisoning.
Cyanide too, bioaccumulative.
And things like cyanide that just, if they can build up in your body, and then that's the bad part. And then, okay, so then, and lastly, wrapping it back up to pirates. So, the skull and crossbone, the Jolly Roger, has been around since sort of the like early 1700s in pirate culture. But since 1850, the skull and crossbones has been used as sort of an international symbol for this thing is poisonous, which is pretty cool. Slash, I don't know, what a nice little pirate poison connection, I thought.
Yeah.
Along with a very clear Princess Bride reference.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
Welcome to our final segment, Petrified Orange, where we talk about our new favorite things. And this week, my favorite thing was the Swede's reaction to learning that he had been poison tested. And like Jackie's reaction to the Swede's reaction. Just
so good.
It's so good. It's so cute. It just makes me love their relationship even more because it's so weirdly tender, where she's like, yeah, I've secretly been poisoning you to make sure that you would survive in this scenario. And like, he's not mad. He's just surprised. And like, she's so reassuring. I'm like, of course I'm taking care of you. I just love it.
I want to say, it's like, I want to say weirdly wholesome, but maybe wholesome isn't quite the word. It's just, it's very cute. They just love each other so much.
Yeah.
This is actually really funny because my last petrified orange is that one of the nicknames Jackie has for the Swede is Sugar Balls, which is the least cute nickname I've ever heard in my entire life, but also just so funny.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I think you have to be the caliber of actor that Leslie Jones is at to make that line work.
Yeah, because it just sounds so natural. You just really believe it, you know? You like, you have to be looking for things to think about in order to even like trip over it a little bit. You're just like, it's just a nickname, you know?
Yeah.
They're my favorite thing about this season, actually. I think like if I had to choose a petrified orange for the whole season, it's the Swede and Jackie.
Yeah, surprisingly excellent pairing. That going into the season, I would have been like, yeah, sure. And now I'm like, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope your love lasts as long as, I don't know how to end that. I just hope it lasts.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right. Thank you all so much for listening. You know, stick around. We'll definitely be talking to you about some other pirate things in the future. Find our other podcasts. Check the show notes for everything. And until next time,
farewell, Bonnet's playthings.